Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children as we gather together today around the word of God. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit speaketh expressly at this time. The work that the Holy Spirit is doing, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to comfort, saith the Lord? Or shall I cause to comfort and then shut up the womb? No. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the great things that you are doing in our lives. Today, as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And so let it be in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before I get to part two of this prophetic birth pains lesson, Travail Before Triumph, I want to read a psalm. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Hallelujah. Through thy work, I will triumph the works of thy hands. Amen. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked do spring forth as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, lo, thine enemies shall perish. And all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, hallelujah, shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil, even as it is this day. Hallelujah. My eye also shall see my desire upon my enemies, and my ears shall hear the desire of the wicked that shall rise up against me. Huh? Well, but they cannot prosper. Hallelujah. Now, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's everywhere. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Isn't that beautiful? You know, the Lord does these things to show his goodness and that he is upright. Upright in the sense that he will reward those that diligently seek him, and he will come through for those that put their trust in him. Bible say, those that put their trust in the Lord, they shall not be ashamed. They shall even not be moved. They shall be like Mount Zion that abides forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get to part two of this lesson. Prophetic birth pains. Yesterday we talked about birth pains in the natural. You know, the woman typified in Revelation chapter 12 was, although, you know, it was a literal woman, she was a prophetic depiction of the struggle of the church down through the ages. Hallelujah. And everything that the devil has always tried to do, destroy, kill, steal. The dragon standing before the woman, Dragon thinking if he can't stop the pregnancy, if he can't kill it while it's in the womb, well, then he's going to swallow it up as soon as it is born. But he couldn't do it. Praise the Lord. So that's the end of the book right there. You know, he couldn't do it. The end of the story is that the child was caught up to God and to his throne. Hallelujah. And the devil couldn't do it. Praise God. But then we also see that the woman travailed, you know, in birth and pained to be delivered. And so there's some pain, you know, that process of birth, of birthing something. And, you know, our lives are full of birthings, different birthings. And, you know, the Lord gave us a wonderful depiction in the birthing of a new life, you know, through the woman's womb and conception and all that. But it's more than just that. It's every different seasons in our lives, that our life may be pregnant with something that the Lord is fixing to birth forth. Hallelujah. And the Lord that, you know, brought, I mean, the baby to the womb, he's able also to bring that baby forth, both naturally and also prophetically, spiritually. Praise God. You know, so today, let's take another look at the lesson of birthing, praise God, or something, you know, a process of something becoming something else. You know, a little seed, you know, connection, something from the man, something from the woman. Only God knows. Maybe there may be hundreds or thousands of stuff swimming around there. God just ordains it. Come into contact like that. He knows what he's doing. And only he can do it. But this is a promise that we have from the Lord in Isaiah 66 and verse 9. He says, well, the same God that formed or is forming that baby in the womb, he asks us a question. And this is what he said. You know, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? And even when I do bring forth, shall I then shut up the womb so that you can only bring forth one time? No. I'll do it again and again and again. You know, so now let's talk about, you know, the spiritual Zion, you know, and the things, you know, that God is doing with us. So we'll read that same Isaiah 66, but this time we'll step back to verse 7 and read a few things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, you know, let me just read it from verse 5. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, you know, they cast you out for my name's sake. They said, well, let the Lord be glorified. They thought they are doing God a service, you know, by casting you out. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. That's right. He said it. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Well, that would be great if that's the way it is always in the natural. But I guarantee you, it's usually not like that. But here it's talking about a quick, short walk that the Lord is going to do at the end to bring that great man child into view. Now, She's been pregnant for a while, but she's about to bring forth now. But this time around, it's going to be quick, he said, you know, and she's going to bring it forth. Who has heard of such a thing? Usually what we know is a long, drawn out travail and everything, you know, but he said, well, this time around, even the earth that's waiting, and we're going to step into a scripture in Romans 8 in a minute. You know, the earth is waiting. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? I'm talking about Israel. It will even happen. And it has happened. You know, for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. But again, prophetically, we can apply these things to our lives. Something is fixing to happen for you in the natural, for the church in the spiritual, you know, and so on. Nation of Israel also. But let's read Romans chapter 8. Look at the spiritual application of these prophetic birth pains and this birthing of something glorious, you know, that is about to happen. For I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time, you know, all of the travail and so forth that you are going through, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory or the triumph that shall be revealed in us. So there's always some travail before the triumph. For the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting, you know, for the manifestation of the sons of God. This man-child must be born. All creatures waiting for it. Some creatures are waiting for it in expectation of goodness of God that will come. Another creature is waiting to devour that child as soon as he was born, but he can't do it. You know, so we know, he said, that the whole creature is waiting, you know, a subject right now to vanity, but not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That there's coming a deliverance, even for the earth, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. There's something new that's going to happen to even God's creation. Would you know it? Well, because the sons of God, when they come into view, they're going to show what the generation of Jesus Christ looks like. And all that generation from Adam, done with it. Something significant, extraordinary is about to happen. You know, but we're going through these little things in our lives now. And some of us are so focused on either your daily happiness or daily challenges that you forget the plans of God are even much greater. You know, what God is all about, especially in these last days, is not about, you know, whether, you know, my little happiness here or my little unhappiness there, it's way more than that. Not that he doesn't care, but his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his glory much more than what we can think about, you know. And even when a man was born blind and it took him 40 years before he could encounter the Christ, Jesus' answer to the question about why was this man born blind, you know, was that the glory of God was higher than the pain that this man has suffered for 40 years. The grief, the sorrow that his parents had suffered for seeing their child 40 years blind, and the man himself, you know, all of that paled in comparison to the glory of God that was to be revealed in the day that this man will be healed. Right? Think about that. You can read that story in John chapter 9. You know, so what God is doing, and that the works of God may be made manifest in us, is a greater purpose, much higher purpose and the little struggles that we have here and there. However, God has a purpose even for those little struggles. You know, his mind is so, complex. You can't figure it all out. But occasionally he will reveal to us a piece of it. Even as he's doing in this message, to let you know that the things that you're going through, you know, they have a purpose. They may not be the highest purpose. Your highest purpose is for God to bring forth the glory of Christ in us. But, you know, he will bring forth his glory also on a daily basis in our lives if we allow him to do something. You know, the journey of a lifetime is composed of journeys through many days. You can think of each day as a journey or a micro journey through that big journey. You put it all together, you see the big picture. And so, you know, something is fixing to happen. We know, he said, that the creature will be delivered from the bondage of corruption that they are in now to the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's a new order that God is bringing in the generation of Jesus Christ. Their influence upon the earth and the creation is going to be amazing. It'll be none like it since Christ. But it'll be, because this is what the scripture says at the end. You know, the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. That's at the global level. There's a lot of travail at the global level too. At the micro level in our lives daily, there's also travail. It's travail in every sphere of life. And not only the old creation, but we ourselves also that have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves. There's travail everywhere. In your spiritual life, there's travail. In your physical life, there's travail. You know, in the church, the body of Christ, there's travail. You know, in God's mind, to bring forth the sons of God, there's travail. There's travail everywhere. You know, waiting for the adoption to wheat. The redemption of our body. Now, this body, Christ paid for it, but it's still not quite there. I mean, why after all that stuff that Jesus, you know, endured, for he himself did bear our sins and sicknesses, and upon his own body he was bruised for our iniquities. You know, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. We were wounded for our transgression, and by his stripes we are healed, but yet we are sick sometimes. You know, and he paid for our peace, yet we have trouble. Paid for our sickness, yet we have, for our healing, yet we have sickness sometimes, and so on and so forth. You know, but, well, that's the travail. But, you know, someday soon, this whole redemption plan is coming into view. When there shall be no more sorrow, and there shall be no more sickness. There shall be no more pain, for the former things will be passed away. It's coming. It's written in the volume of the book. But before we get there, we're going to go through a cycle every day or weeks or certain seasons in our lives where we see some travail. And during that travail, you've got to understand that there is a triumph that's coming out of it. You know, tremendous joy is coming when that baby finally comes out. The woman had to go through a lot of things, but even, you know, we ourselves that have the first fruit of the Spirit say we are groaning, waiting. You know, this body, this, you know, mortal flesh shall be redeemed itself. You know, mortality shall be swallowed up of immortality. Jesus has already done it, but yet we die. You know, the scripture says that Christ, you know, has already abolished death. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, you know, he said, you know, in verses 9 and 10, he said, you know, he has saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not, according to what we did or didn't do, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. It's already settled. Finished it before he even started it. But now, it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought immortality to life and life and immortality to life through the gospel. Well, if Christ has abolished death, which the scripture clearly says here, and the scripture cannot be broken, then why do we still die? Yeah, you know, because, see, he has finished it, but the unveiling of the fullness of it is still happening. Even on the cross, John chapter 19 and verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Because, I mean, he had fulfilled every prophecy about himself. And one of the things that was finished, according to 1 John chapter 3, you know, we read that Jesus Christ was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil in verse 8 of John, 1 John 3. Well, if that's the reason he came and Jesus said it is finished, well, that means it was done then. Then why is the devil still roaming around and still able to do certain things if Jesus said it is done? Well, that's the mystery of life. It is done as far as God is concerned, but the unveiling, the full unveiling of it, you know, we'll go on in our sphere. And we are the enforcers. That's right. We are the ones that will enforce these things. And while you are experiencing some of the travail, you've got to know the end story before it even began. That's why we did the series about, you know, the end, you know, before it even begins. God's foreknowledge, seeing the end. You know that baby is coming forth. Even before the baby was conceived in the womb, God already knew. And I wrote the name of that baby down in a book. Even before the baby came, wrote the members of that baby down in his book. You know, so the moment you get pregnant, you know that baby is coming. Praise God. He's coming. You know, because God already foresaw it. And so while you are going through stuff when you're pregnant, well, yeah, you endure it for the joy that is to be revealed. Christ himself endured, we're told, the contradiction of sinners against himself. Endured all kinds of things, you know. And because he wouldn't despise the shame and all that, because of the glory that was set in front of him, endured many things. Well, we must endure the travail because of the triumph that is ahead. We got to endure these things. And so, in our daily lives, we are faced with all kinds of things. But I'll tell you a story today, a beautiful story in God's creation that perfectly depicts this. Now, on the one hand, we have this story of the woman that's pregnant, which we have been talking about since yesterday. But on the other hand, I want to tell you the story of this beautiful creature which God births out of the ugliest thing, something very repulsive, ugly process that you've ever seen. And you may not be able to see how the baby is formed in the womb and all of that, but you can see when you're looking, if you've ever looked, of the cataloging of the story of this beautiful creature called the butterfly, the metamorphosis that it goes through. I mean, full stages of all four, phases of metamorphosis that this thing goes through. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And when it gets toward the end, I mean, wow. You know, it goes through many things. But when it gets towards that end, you can see the ugliness. You can see the pain. You know, you can see the struggle, you know, of that thing trying to come out of there. You know, and sometimes it goes in and out, and hanging upside down and so many things and struggling. And it's ugly. It's repulsive. I mean, if you don't have a stomach or some strong things, you might even like the sight. But, you know, that thing will go on for a while. But then, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, the most beautiful thing that you ever seen. You know, it starts out with a little egg. Then it turns into this is something they call the larva. And then it goes into, you know, the pupa state. And then it comes into a full grown butterfly. But in that process, especially when it gets to that caterpillar stage, you know, even it's ugly. But it does a lot of things that it goes through. And when it puts itself in a position for that stuff to come out, you know, I've heard the story of someone that saw that process, you know, and the thing struggling, hanging upside down on that branch and struggling, trying to come out of that cocoon, going inside, struggling, coming, going, struggling. Couldn't do it, seemed like. And somebody put forth his hand to help that thing. It killed the whole process. You can't do it. You got to go through that struggle. You got to go through, you know, that travail. It's called birth pains. But I guarantee you, when that beautiful butterfly finally comes out of that, you've never seen anything like it. How in the world can God bring such beautiful colors? I mean, the thing can float with grace. It can just like effortlessly just float and fly away. And it's the most beautiful thing you ever saw. And how can he bring such a thing of beauty out of something so grotesque and so ugly? I mean, one time I went to this butterfly place, you know, with my wife, and we looked at it and I truly enjoyed it. And they showed us a whole movie of how this whole thing forms and all the cycles that it goes through. And, you know, the part where the thing is so grotesque and struggling and so forth. Coming out of that thing, I couldn't even look at it. But if you look or wait just long enough, out of that whole ugliness, comes out this thing. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I wonder, how can God make something so beautiful come out of something so ugly? That's God for you. Praise the Lord. So he can take the situation that you think is ugly right now, you know, that you're going through, called birth pains. And that caterpillar is going through that thing. Oh, my goodness. But he's coming out of there. Nature already knows he's coming out of there. And do you know that something beautiful is coming out of the situation, the birth pains that you're going through right now? What is it that God is birthing in you? You know, even sometimes when the Lord puts a seed in our minds, you know, it can sow an idea in your mind, even while you're sleeping. You know, God can put something there. Say, well, while men sleep, the Lord seals instruction in their hearts. He can do that. He can, you know, just put an idea and in your heart. And then you, when you wake up with it, you say, oh my goodness. And then the Lord begins to birth that thing, be it anything that he wanted you to do. Sometimes it takes a long time. You can put an idea, you know, that you would do something, help the poor, do something, write a book, do this, do that, whatever it is. He puts it in your heart, you know, and that thing is there. And you struggle with it for a long time, but it's coming. Praise God. God can also show you some greatness that's coming, like the stories we told over the last week, stories of people like Joseph and David that are going to be appointed greatness in their life. And the struggles that will, you know, come even before they get there, you know. And even when they get there, sometimes even David, after he got to the throne, his troubles never ended, you know, even within his own family, you know. So there's a lot of things that stories in the Bible teach us. But one thing we know is God knows the end from the beginning. And the end of that ugly caterpillar, the repulsive thing that is just so, the end of it is this thing of beauty that is coming out, this butterfly. And when you see how that butterfly looks with all the rainbow colors and some of them have green, purple, red, orange, yellow, blue. Where did all those colors come from this thing, this ugly thing that was trying to hatch some moments ago? You know, well, that's the glory of God. God put that even in nature for us to see that he can take anything and bring a shift, you know. And I'm going to be declaring and praying prophetically over your situation, your pregnancy, both physically and prophetically. All of us are pregnant with one thing or the other. Every day is pregnant. That's why the Bible says, in the womb of the morning. The day is pregnant with something. What is it going to bring forth? Every day there's pregnancy going on in your life. And then there are people who are physically pregnant, women physically pregnant. At first they don't know it. Then later on they find out, you know, but you know, you got to go through a process. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful that as soon as she got pregnant, she delivered? No. You got to go through a process, you know. And wouldn't it be wonderful as soon as she travailed, she brought forth at the end, you know. Let's say after 9 months, first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, she finally gets there. And the moment, you know, water breaks, before any pain, she just brings birth like that. That'd be great. In some cases, actually like that, but I guarantee you 99.9% is not like that. There's a lot of pain, you know, that people have to go through, women have to go through for that. A lot of pain. Sometimes they're in a hospital delivery room for hours. And the pain gets too much, actually. They ask for epidural and so forth. And then the pain, and they can't even push anymore because they can't feel the thing. And it's a long, painful present. No man likes to see it. I guarantee you. Some men actually run away, you know, when their wives are in that situation. They go and hide because they can't deal with it, you know. And, but the next thing you know, stay with that long enough, something beautiful is coming out of there. Well, what is it that your day is about to birth? What is it that your season is about to birth? What is it that your life is about to birth? What is it that, you know, I mean, and we can do some things, you know, to cause the atmosphere to shift in your favor. That's right. Because once you know the end from the beginning, right? Because God knows it. You may not know it, but he may reveal it to you, might give you an inkling of it. But once you know it, well, then you set your mind and your face like a flint. You know that you are going to get to that other side because that's what he said. You know that baby is going to come forth because the Lord already said, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? He already said it, so it's coming. And you know, so there's so many things. And because you know that you don't need to sit on the sidelines, because the Lord already said, take a pen of fire and write in the book, you know, the chapters that appear to still be empty. Well, you can write. In the morning, you can write some good things for the day. That's right. And I say, well, the day is pregnant. The womb of the morning. What's it going to bring forth? Well, you can write the things you want it to bring forth. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all today. My ears will not hear any bad news. My eyes will not see evil upon my children. My heart will not be troubled. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You can just write any good thing you want. And God is watching over that. You know, he's got some angels stationed their duty is certain things that God has given them charge over. They'll tell you if you try to make him do something else. I saw that one time. Well, I got my orders. You can't, he's got his orders. You can be looking and say, why are you standing there doing this? Well, I got my orders. Do something. Say, I got my orders. Well, he's already got his orders. His orders are, you be listening. You be watching. God tells it to us in Psalm 103 verse 20. I've spoken about it more than 20 times on this platform, maybe even hundreds of times. That's how God does it. They are listening, hearkening, They do his commandment. The commandment is, listen. Be on the lookout. When you see them declare my word, hearkening to the voice of his word. When you give voice to that written word, they already have their charge. God, say, well, you go see to it. They've spoken it now. That's it. They are empowered. So you also, you have that power. Don't say, ko, sera, sera, which is whatever will be, will be. In a way, yeah, but, that was my day I finally understood that song when I was a young man. I used to hear the song, and then one day I understood. I said, what in the world does this thing mean? And I said, oh. And I said, oh. And some people, they are resigned in their mind. That, oh, well, whatever will be. And, well, that's a good thing if whatever will be good. But that's a horrible thing if it's a bad thing that's fixing to happen and you say whatever will be. No! it's not going to be. And I started saying, I was a very young man then. I started saying, well, whatever will be only if it will be for my good. But if it's negative, I cancel it. I'm going to write something different. Take your bill quickly and write. I'm going to write something different. I don't want any of that negative stuff. Do you? Praise the Lord. We have that power. Jesus said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. So the power of the enemy to bring distress, to bring anguish, to bring pain, to bring tragedy, to bring accidents, the wickedness, spiritual wickedness in high places, you have power over it to write something different. Praise the Lord. But realize that all the pain, all the suffering that you're going through, it's designed as part of the process to bring forth that thing of glory. That butterfly could not have come out of there in that beauty, in that thing of beauty, except that he went through all that horrible process first. And I want to say today that the Lord is putting certain things, even in your heart. You may not know it. Occasionally the Holy Spirit will show it to you. But he's telling you, even as you're hearing this lesson, that something great is fixing to happen. Something good, and you can declare it for yourself, something good is fixing to happen. Praise the Lord. The book of Job, chapter 33, in a dream, in a vision of a night, that's verse 15. Even when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed, even while you don't know it in your subconscious, the Lord opens your ears when you don't even know that he's done it, and he puts something in there. Seals instruction, and you wake up in the morning. Now, the devil can do that too. He can come in there and put some trepidations and some bad omens and different things like that. But you sanctify your mind with the blood of Jesus. You go to sleep. You channel, the streams to receive only from the Lord. And then the Lord, when you wake up, you find that's a bright idea. That's something. Some people say, well, the light bulb went on. The inspiration of the Almighty comes from the Lord. And I want you to all receive inspiration today. I pray that you receive inspiration that something good is coming. And when you see that something good, then you begin to speak it forth. You know, I've been saying it for weeks that that's how God did it. You know, he saw that good thing in his mind. Well, there was chaos everywhere. The earth was, you know, void and without form and chaotic and everything was not right. He said, well, what he saw was a whole lot better. So he called forth what he saw in his mind. Well, let there be light. And there was light. And he saw some other things, you know, and then began to call them forth. Well, what is it that God is showing you that he had deposited in you, even while you were sleeping? Well, the Lord will bring it into your mind. You call it forth. Call it forth, men and brethren. Praise God. But I want you to know that even when you call it forth, the dragon may be standing there trying to devour that thing. As soon as it starts to form, he's ready to devour it. So God gave you this idea. You're going to start a business. You're going to do this. You're going to write a book. You're going to do whatever. You're going to do this and that. He wants you to do this. He wants you to do that. He just puts it in your heart. The devil will be standing there to devour that thing, to make sure it doesn't happen. You know, that's the story that we see in Revelation 12. But I got news for the devil. Just like he couldn't swallow up that child, the child was caught up to glory. Neither can he swallow up that which God had deposited in you. It's coming to pass. It shall come to pass. The baby that's forming in your womb shall come to pass. It shall come out. You know, the morning that's pregnant with that good stuff in your life, it shall come to pass. It will. Because Jesus himself said, say, heaven and earth may pass away, but not my word. So once God has spoken, it's done. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, let's assure ourselves with this confidence today. And we can do the same. We can be like God. Not in the way of, you know, trying to depose God like Lucifer was, but in the way of trying to represent God. See, you know, that's the be like God pattern that we must choose. We be like God in order to represent. Because that's what Jesus said. So, ye are my ambassadors. Well, represent. You know, so we are the ones that are the generation of Jesus Christ. You know, Psalm 82 says, I have said that ye are God's, little g, and all of you are the children of the Most High. Well, then why would you die like men? Dieth Abner as a fool dieth? I mean, why would you die like men when I have said that you are God, sir? Why would you sit back and let the devil trample all over you while I have said that I've given you power over all the power of the enemy? Why would you let all the challenges that you are facing derail you, you know, from the path to glory when I have said that you must, through these tribulations, enter into your glory? Don't you know it? Jesus called them fools, said, don't you know that Christ must suffer all these things in order to enter into his glory? Well, you also must suffer these things that you are suffering, because no disciple can be greater than his master. If those things happen to Christ before he could get his glory, well, you're going to also struggle and have these birth pains before this birth thing. You know, this great thing will be birth that's coming in your life. Now, some of you are on the verge of absolute remarkable things that God's about to do. It's called emerging. That's how that butterfly emerges out of that situation. But he had to go through a lot. But what you saw at the end was not what you saw when the thing was going through all those changes and those ugliness. The thing of beauty at the end, all that ugliness in between could not even compare. Glory to God. So if you hang in there, now let me declare to you today that you are on the verge of infinite possibilities. I mean, just think of how many different ways God can compute the colors on that butterfly to come out of that ugly thing. And no two butterflies have the same colors. They're all different. And God just has a myriad of colors that he can choose from. And they all look ugly when they're struggling through that cocoon and the caterpillar and stuff. But when it brings out this thing of beauty, it's such an amazing thing that comes out of it. Now, I'm going to declare some things for you in this room today. Now, why do we often like to say we're going to declare, we're going to declare? What is that all that really means? Well, all it really means is that we speak the word of God, because God commands us to do that. You know, so, you know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43 and verse 26, God tells us to do exactly that. And that's what that's why we do it. He commands us, admonishes us, invites us, any way you want to think of it, to do just that. You know, so put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it. Declare that. You may be justified. Well, you got to declare it because he said you should declare it. You know, so what we do is we look for what he already said, because he said, put me in remembrance. That means he said it first. You know, so I look for what he said, and I put him in remembrance, and I declare it. And when I declare it, you know, it's what he already said. It's not me. He said it already. So that's the confidence that we have. That's how faith works. You know, the reason, you know, I'm able to just believe God for anything by his grace, because I've understood this process. You know, it's not, I don't need to try to believe. I just need to understand his word. And that's it. Because, you know, you see that coming to God must, you know, believe that he is. You got to believe it. And once God shows you this thing and you understand how this works, I mean, it's like you become a faith subject matter expert. You just believe God because you know it is his word, and his word cannot fail. And all you got to do when you are declaring it, one, you are putting God in remembrance. That's actually challenging him by his word. That's what that means. But also you are using it to encourage yourself. Just like, you know, David told, he encouraged himself in the Lord. For Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, Jesus encouraged himself, you know, about his own death and resurrection. He would speak many things. Well, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. And he kept saying it. Well, that's how you do it. You keep saying it. Raise God, you know. What is it that God has said to you? There are some moments, you know, of discovery when you are in praise and worship or in prayer and so forth. Holy Spirit, bring a scripture. My goodness, you better latch onto that, because that's how you're going to get the victory. Holy Spirit knows, and then he'll give you that scripture, and it becomes your anchor. You stay with it, and you declare it from time to time. Praise God. All right. I want you to believe God with me. We've spoken a lot about the pains that you are going through. It's going to bring forth tremendous glory. There's always travailing before triumph. Even athletes The Bible says those who strive for masteries, they're athletes, they're temperate in all things. They put their body under. They know they have to go through some stuff. Now, some people say, no pain, no gain. Well, you know, that's what we used to say when we were doing, and I was doing this track and field and all this stuff. You got to put yourself through all of that. And then at the end, it'll pay off. Well, life puts us through that, even if you don't want to. Life puts you through it anyway. So, Father, I thank you for your children that are here. Hallelujah. Open up your mind and believe God right now. Because, you know, this is your season of birthing. And something tremendous about to come out of there. Out of all that struggle, all that pain, all that difficulty, even the shame and the disgrace and the losses that you've faced. And the Lord said, for your shame, I will give you double. For your trouble, I will give you double. Said it twice. Huh. Glory to God. So let's believe God. Why does he do it? To show that the Lord is upright. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Praise the Lord. He has said that if we believe, well, all things are possible. Not only to God, but also to him that believes. So if you can believe, then you can be almost like God. Because God doesn't need to believe anything. He already knows it. But when you believe, you can be like God. All things are possible to him, and all things are possible to you when you believe. Praise God. All the people that are in here this morning, Lord, and afternoon for those who are overseas, I thank you for what is cooking in their lives. Hallelujah. And thank you for the pregnancy that they're going through physically and prophetically. And God is going to bring a thing of beauty. That prophetic butterfly is coming out of that prophetic ugly cocoon. It's coming out of there. Praise God. The struggles, the pains, the distresses, and the tribulations of the present moment. They are only declaring the glory that is to be revealed. Who would have thought that a thing of beauty that can float and fly with so many different colors is what's going to come out of this thing of, you know, disgust and grotesque thing that's struggling, come out of there. That thing of beauty, come out of it to the glory of God. God is beautifying your life, and out of all of that struggle and all that pain, come for the butterfly to demonstrate the beauty of the Lord. Now, I'm going to declare an atmosphere shift. Glory to God. You are now in the struggle phase. You've gone through the egg, gone through the lava. You are here now, the pupa state, or pupa, as some people call it. And you are about to bring forth. Hallelujah. And I declare that you shall not bring forth for trouble. And the Lord said that. You know, when you bring forth, it'll be a proper child. You know, the thing that's birthing in your life will be a proper thing. The devil will not be able to put his hand to you. He's standing there trying to divide, but he won't do it. He can't do it. Glory of God is coming. That child's going to be translated to God and his throne. He's going to attain the glory. The thing that's coming in your life out of all these struggles that you're going through at the moment will attain the thing of glory and the place of glory. And the devil won't be able to do it. Standing there trying to, but he will be disappointed. He'll open up his mouth, but he will swallow nothing. Hallelujah. God the Lord will deliver you, and the Lord will bring his glory to show that the Lord is faithful. Now, for the things that you have written on those blank pages, I declare and decree an atmosphere shift. When the Lord spoke the word, certain things began to happen. Let the waters that be above, you know, the firmament, let them be gathered together on one side and on the other side, and let the dry land appear. Hallelujah. Now, let all the things that are roaming around, foaming around, and the waves that are raising their proud heads, or the proud waves that are coming against you and so forth, let them be split. Hallelujah. Split on one side, split on the other side. Just like God who heaped up the waters, the proud waters of Jordan and the proud waters of the Red Sea, caused the dry land to appear. Even the same God caused the dry land to appear for you, and you're going through on dry ground. Hallelujah. And those waters that are heaped up, they can't come crashing down on you, but they will come crashing down on your enemies. Hallelujah. The enemy of righteousness, the spiritual wickedness, bands of wickedness, heavy burdens, yokes, oppressing spirits, all these things, the Lord will give you the victory. But you must believe that the end game is already finished. You are already there. Praise God. I am Alpha and Omega. I make all things new in your life. Praise God. There is something that God is bringing, a new life that's coming out of that pregnancy. The cycle of life teaches us that every time. And there is a new day that's coming at the end of these days. Another new day is coming tomorrow. Praise God. You know, so every day when you start the day out, declare the goodness of God. Say, surely goodness and mercy follow me today. Hallelujah. I will not trip. Praise God. Lord will watch over our steps, giving angels charge over me. I will not even dash my foot against any stone. I'm going to look. The Lord will cause me to see. I will be a prudent person. I declare that my mind has prudence. I will foresee the evil. Hallelujah. For the eye of the eagle is with me. And surely any trap that is set before me, plainly the Lord has seen it, and I will escape. And good things are coming my way. The lions are falling onto me in pleasant place. You can declare a lot of good things for yourself. And you know the personal things that you're going through. It may be your financial situation. It may be family. It may be your children or your grandchildren. It may be your health. It may be whatever. You know, the challenge that the devil has thrown in your face. You know, the devil is standing there trying to devour that thing. You know, making sure that dream doesn't come to pass. Well, it is coming to pass. Praise God. You know, in a moment, I'm going to ask everybody that's in the room, begin to pray with me. As I finish this prayer, I'm going to let you open up your mic and pray. Hallelujah. Jesus said, pray that you fall not into temptation. We got to pray. Elijah, he prayed. God already showed him the rain was coming, but that he's not going to go up and eat and drink. He's going to pray. Ha! Going to pray that thing through. You know, so, you know, that pregnancy, I'm going to pray it through. The great thing that is about to birth forth in your life, we're going to pray it through today. And, you know, never mind the travail. God has ordained it so. That travail must happen before the triumph. The birth pains must happen before the child comes forth. But as soon as you travail, the Bible says, as soon as she travailed, Zion brought forth a man child. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for enabling and empowering your people with the word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.